Amen. Praise the Lord. This is quite a rich message. On the surface, it actually is pretty clear, right? There's a lot of pictures and types, and you can kind of understand this message in a very doctrinal way, and it's very clear that all the pictures and types and things like that. But I think really the burden of the brother's burden in this message was really to enter into the reality and actually God's heart's desire in this message. Right, we're talking about a tabernacle. You know, if you read the portion in Exodus, you know, it's clear, has dimensions and how to build it, where the ark was placed, and all these things. Right, you could read it, you know, read it like in a college class and understand. Okay, you know, God made this tabernacle, made it for the children of Israel, and things like that. But really, we see here in this message that this actually represents God's heart's desire.
Amen.
And why such a thing was placed here was because God has a desire on his heart. And he showed this, right? He showed this to Moses. And so in the title of the message, right, the title of the message, the erecting of the tabernacle and the tabernacle, the cloud and the glory being full, the full type of the triune God. So God doesn't want us to simply know about their tabernacle, but actually he wants us to realize, what is this all about? He has such a portion in the Word to show us his heart's desire. So what is God's heart's desire? God's heart's desire is that he would have a dwelling place on earth.
Amen.
He doesn't want to just remain in the heavens, because right, most of the time in the Old Testament, God is in the heavens, right? He hasn't tabernacled among men yet, right? So God made this provision to have the tabernacle that he could be on earth amongst his people, right?
Yeah.
But we see there's a picture, right? We don't want there's a picture of the mountain, right? Most of us, or most Christians, are kind of just at the bottom of the mountain enjoying. Some maybe in the mid-tier, right? We see that Joshua and Moses were enjoying. But we want to actually be on the top of the mountain. And this is where God's glory was, right? God's glory was up there with Moses. And he was speaking, and his glory was shown upon Moses. And Moses, what I really stuck out to me, was that when this tabernacle was built, it was built according to God's way. You know, a lot of times we could fall into the trap of building the church in our way, our own peculiarities, our own thoughts, our own opinions, in so many ways. But actually, if we want to be ones building the church, which is the tabernacle, we need to do it according to God's way.
Amen.
And what is God's way? In the New Testament, it's really the apostles' teachings. If we just follow the Bible according to the apostles' teachings, we'll be one building according to God's way. So we see here, right? We see in the Old Testament, we see God's heart's desire is shown to Moses. And it's shown by building the tabernacle, right? And then we see that there's a progression. There's the temple. And then we see in the New Testament, there's the reality of Christ coming as a man, right? He tabernacled among us. So in the Old Testament, we see that the cloud came upon, right? That was something outward. But actually, what God wants us to do is enter in and be in the glory of him. And in this message, the brother pointed out, a lot of times we can remain on the outward things, the excitement, the cloud, right? We don't want to remain. He even mentioned that in his message, if some of us may know, Eldon Holidays. It's exciting. And I was thinking, maybe the college training you know, a few, the corporate, the, I don't know what you call it, the national college training. It sounded like there was a lot of enjoyment. There was a lot of the spirit. But we don't want to just remain in outward enjoyment or just outward things. But actually, what God wants is us to enter into His heart's desire. And he mentioned, we don't want to belittle this. This is something we do need to pass through. We need to have this experience of having this outward enjoyment, really enjoying the time with the saints. I definitely had that in my college times. I enjoyed the spirit very outwardly, calling the Lord, being crazy with some companions of mine, and really touching the spirit. But God doesn't want us to remain there. But God actually wants to go deeper. And He actually wants us to be in His heart's desire. And in this message, we see that there is a little bit of this reality. We are the tabernacle. We are the sanctuary where God dwells. And you know, this is really what the Lord's recovery is all about, is entering into this, entering into God's heart, and actually experiencing this. This would be our experience. Our experience would be the glory of God would be among the church. This is why, you know, Paul sees in Ephesians at the end, right? He says, glory be to the church. Because he sees that the glory is amongst the believers. The glory is in the church. And so this is what God's heart's desire is. So we have this tabernacle, we have the sanctuary, we have the temple, and we have the progression of Christ coming. But then ultimately we see this ends with the new Jerusalem. This is the eternal tabernacle, full of glory. And this is really what God's heart's desire is, and this is what we are part of, and this is what we are in today. We are part of this tabernacle. We are building this tabernacle, and amongst us, there is the glory of God. So this is what we, as the Lord's recovery, we have to be clear, and we have to see this vision. But really, the only way to see this is not just by talking about it, not just by experiencing it, but really being open to the Lord speaking. Amen. That's really the only way we can really enter into this feeling, is to really open ourselves to the Lord and allow the Spirit to speak to us. So hopefully, you know, amongst us, the saints, we can share and prophesy what the Lord has spoken to us this week. I think, you know, if you've entered into this message, I definitely think the Lord has touched you and the Spirit has come to you and has given you something to share. So we'll just open this time for, you know, the saints to share and just speak according to your spirit and listen. Listen to your spirit, that little thump, thump, thump in your heart, and your spirit to stand up and share your portion. We have about 35 minutes before closing, brother, will share, so don't waste too much time.
Our cleanse as vision is composed with the divine Trinity as its basic element and structure, and every chapter reveals the triune God. Thus, Ephesians is a clear explanation and definition of the tabernacle in Exodus. I really encourage with point 5 says the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity is the unique way to build up the church, which is the body of Christ and the dwelling place of God. And in today's reading, it says the divine dispensing comes out of the tree of the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the divine dispensing takes place within us. The divine dispensing taking place within us is the operating of the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, the pneumatic Christ, as the aggregate, totality, and consummation of the triune God. And this Spirit is moving in us, anointing us, watering us, feeding us, satisfying us, strengthening us, comforting us, saturating us, and permeating us. There are so many words to describe His dispensing within us. Every day we should be built up by receiving the divine dispensing within us.
I was just a very much, this is chapter 40 of Exodus, and chapter 40 of Exodus ends with the erection of the tabernacle,
Amen.
Which is God's dwelling place on earth.
Amen.
And so in one sense, he accomplished this with man. And man can say, we've done it, or they did it. They erected the tabernacle where the cloud could cover the tent of meeting, and the glory of Jehovah would fill the tabernacle. You know, at the end of Genesis, we see that Joseph died. There was just, you know, Joseph died. There's a tomb. But at the end of Exodus, we have a glorious ending, which is the erection of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And I was just appreciating Exodus. This is, in one sense, this is for the children of Israel's experience. But in a very real sense, this is really just a type of our journey with the Lord. Weren't we the same also in Egypt, serving Pharaoh? And we were trapped and enslaved by the world. But we were led out. We were saved. We were redeemed. But we have to look at the end. It was all for the building. So we were redeemed for the building.
Right.
We were saved for the building.
Right.
And then we were brought into the wilderness for the building. We were led to drink of the water for the building, to eat the manna for the building, even to the feet of Amalek for the building. And ultimately, when we were led up to the mountain, and there were the commandments, the Ten Commandments were shown as Christ, which is the testimony of God, the definition and the explanation of God, of who God is, that was all for the building. And ultimately, we see all the furnishing in the tabernacle. That was the actual planning, the vision of the building, and then the working out of it all, and the priesthood, all of this, all these matters that we've delved into in the past many, many weeks, was all for the erection of the tabernacle.
Amen.
And so in my being, even as I was looking at the day 6, the verses in Exodus 40, and it was the cloud. Then the cloud covered the tent of meetings, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle.
Amen.
And this is it. You know, I just want to be a part of this.
Amen.
And I know within each of us in this room, there is an aspiration. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. You know, really, this was really Brother me and Brother Lee's experience. If you're a man on the earth,
right,
you should be a believer. You should be a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you should be an overcomer. And overcomers are those who participate, are just ordinary believers who live the Christian life, in the church life, here in this boundary of locality. But we're here for the building. We're here for God's building.
Amen.
Everything else is laid aside. The world, well, we've been redeemed out of that. Our flesh, well, that has been defeated. That has been dealt with. Our self, that has been negated. All these things, it's all for the building. And anyways, even this week, I was just singing a few of the hymns that Brother Lee composed in the 840s. And I was just considering some of those hymns. And one of them is, "For the building I give all."
Amen.
For the building I give all.
Amen.
We should have this as our view, and we should pray, and the Lord will answer such a prayer. Lord, give me a vision of the central matter in the Bible. And Lord, give me a living that matches this vision. Strengthen me day by day to stay in the dispensing, to be open to you, to have my heart open to you and have you to touch me so that I would be fit into the building with other members, with other brothers and sisters. We're here for the building, here to build up the tabernacle, and that the cloud could cover it, and that the glory of Jehovah would fill it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, I want to thank God and also, you know, praise this tabernacle, this you know, body of Christ. So that, you know, we are here. We you know, God can do, you know, things through us. Yeah, I just want to maybe just tell my personal experience. Like, I will appreciate, you know, the body of Christ. Because, you know, for personally, you know, I think God made me kind of a little bit of passive. So I did things kind of slowly, all the way, you know. So God saved me and then going through these years. So now this year transferred me to a job place which is very, very busy. So, as I said, the past Thursday was a very busy day, and I got hurried home to pick my son. And on the highway, the happened, the older world is faster than me. So, and then suddenly stops. I took the brake. I tried to stop before me, and the lady behind me, she's going faster than me. So she ran into my van. So, and then, I mean, luckily, I was okay. And the van, of course, the back was hit, but I didn't hit the person before me. But, you know, all these hassles, and then it turned up the next day, which is Friday, I woke up, it was kind of down, because I thought, you know, Lord, how I can do it? You know, life has so many things I need to handle. I tried to be fast, but now I cannot be no more, because, and I already told my wife, I will not go to the very left lane. I will stay in the middle lane, so something like that. And then, you know, the work is still very busy, and I know we have a Friday meeting, so the whole day I was busy. And then in the afternoon, I finally just lay on the mat. I had a quiet time with the Lord. I even fell asleep, like right on the mat. But I woke up, I just felt kind of a peace. Maybe, you know, I felt a peace. And then I began to, you know, my wife is cooking for the Friday meeting, so I kind of helped in a way which I sense is kind of new, because I was refreshed. And later that night, our brother came, like, you know, Sister Amy brought him, brother came, and the brother prayed. So, you know, tonight, may God, you know, have strong presence. So I just, by faith, said, yes, let's God have strong presence. And that Friday meeting was very enjoyable. Yeah, I sensed that. I got refreshed. And then I just say, give the glory to God, because the God put us in this tabernacle. So even individually, we are very different. Some are very repetitive, some are very not repetitive. Some stop too often, somebody never stops. So, but God put us in this tabernacle. His glory covers all of us.
Amen.
So we may all live to the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I say the secret to my happiness is that I have received and still receiving the marvelous, unlimited, unsearchable, and untraceable rich Christ. I have received what God has dispensed to mankind. Every day I receive more of Him. So I just feel like this is like when you brought it out, it's like there is a secret to happiness, and it is so simple. You just need to receive more of God.
Yeah.
I just feel like every day, like once I started the graduate school, I feel like almost every day I'm sighing, and this is the sometimes say, why do you need to keep sighing? You make me so stressed out. and then like, if you start to count, I think I realize it's like almost every sentence I will end with a sigh, or I begin with a sigh. You just feel like there's so much. It's just you don't have happiness at all. And then I realize it's like it's just so simple. You just need to receive Christ, and I pray that every day we will receive more of Him.
I also enjoy that the triune God, He's always dispensing.
Amen.
And it's just really precious. And I was so refreshing to see this week that in John 1:14, we have the fulfillment of the tabernacle of God in this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. And And you know, just like, you know, how the glory and the cloud, you know, fills the tabernacle in Exodus 40, mm-hmm. we know that in John's writing,
yeah.
when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, there's glory,
Amen.
Full of grace and reality, and we can behold His glory. And I just had this rich and living taste and enjoyment, you know, of this tabernacle. Which is God and fully mingle with man, and man mingle with God.
Amen.
And I was really touched that this tabernacle is being enlarged
yes.
to include all of us.
Yes.
The way He does this is by the divine dispensing.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's not just the God, the triune God Himself dispensing Him all that He is to this one person, the Lord Jesus, but through this person. All that God is being enlarged and dispensed into us,
Amen.
All of us believers,
yes.
so that today we can become the enlarged
yes.
incorporation
right.
of God and man, which
Amen.
Is the enlarged tabernacle.
Amen.
And practically, you know, like Juwan shared, you know, I really enjoy that daily. We need to learn. To receive and be under the dispensing.
Amen.
Not just that God dispensing to our spirit, but that He has to dispense into our mind, emotion, and will.
Yes.
In everything we do, we have to be, oh Lord, dispense Yourself into me.
Right.
Like John shared, we need to be open to the dispensing.
Amen.
And this is the way that He can gain the mingling that He needs. For the building of the tabernacle.
Amen.
And in this matter of the enjoyment, again, I just want to point out, in the, this is the, I really enjoy in the outline, this point, excuse me, right here, day four again, yes, day four. And, yes. Anyways, okay, this is kind of, can't find this
book.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so,
the way that we receive dispensing is through the enjoyment of trying God.
Right.
And His dispensing, you know what I'm saying, should be enjoyable to us.
Right?
Even though the our situation is, may not be that happy to us, but you have to be reminded, science, that in any kind of situation, the trying God is dispensing Himself into.
Amen.
As long as we're open to the dispensing, you know, He has a way to impart more of Himself into us.
Amen.
All that God is embodied in the Son has been dispensed into us.
Amen.
And the, okay, this is day five, excuse me, of Roman number five, D6. We need a vision of the central matter in the Bible, the divine intention,
right.
the divine economy,
Amen.
And the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity into the believers in Christ
Amen.
For the building up of the church as the body of Christ, which is the which will consummate in the New Jerusalem, the eternal corporate expression of the triune God. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And the revelation concerning the triune God and the Holy Word is not for doctrinal understanding, but for the dispensing of God and His divine Trinity into His chosen and redeemed people.
Amen.
For the experience and enjoyment.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That is the enjoyment that we need.
Amen.
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 Very appreciate the Exodus because from Exodus I begin to appreciate the Bible. Before I was saved for a couple of years and I have no physical Bible because I can't really get it. Until one day my sister, you know, tried to persuade me to correct the Bible, not the Bible, you know, because they have some like.
Literature works.
So I begin to read, you know, the life study of Exodus, and suddenly the light shine on us because I don't know, Bible is so, you know, so rich. Before that, I don't know, I can't understand it, but from the life study of Exodus, I really appreciate it. I think maybe in the Bible, in Exodus, there are both the pictures in Exodus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Genesis and Exodus is right. From like the individual experience of Christ mm-hmm. to the corporate experience of Christ.
Amen.
Just like from the, you know, the four gospel books to the Acts, mm-hmm. like they experience Christ from individually as the corporate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I really appreciate that there are so many pictures in Exodus. The trying God is a mystery, it's a very big mystery, but from the picture of the tabernacle, you can see the trying God.
Right.
Because the cloud right. is like the spirit,
right.
and the glory filled the tabernacle
right.
is God himself.
Right.
And also the tabernacle is Christ, because right. Christ become flesh, yes. tabernacle is within us.
Right.
So it's a very good picture to
right.
Help us understand
right.
the trying God.
Amen.
So maybe all we'll have a, you know, like a subjective experience of the tabernacle
Amen.
In our life.
I really enjoyed this point on day one. It says, our salvation is at the altar, but God's testimony is at the ark. And I enjoyed that in relation to Roman numeral 1, which says, with respect to man, the tabernacle was the tent of meeting. But with respect to God, it was the tabernacle of testimony. And I've never really heard this distinction before, but I really enjoyed it because it shows us that, on the one hand, it was a place as a tent of meeting where God and man could meet. For the first time, that man had been qualified through the sacrifices in the Old Testament to come forward to hear the speaking of God. But when it comes to, on the Lord's side, for God's side, it was the tabernacle of testimony, because the ark contained the law of God as a picture or a portrait of God himself, was hidden deep within the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And that was the ark of the testimony, and it caused the entire tabernacle to be the tabernacle of the testimony. And I thought that that was very significant, because on the one hand, all that the Lord has gone through for us was just a qualification process to get to the real thing, right? It was just to bring us back from our fallen situation, to bring us back to where we originally were, so that he could accomplish what was originally on his heart before
Amen.
Man's fall.
Amen.
And that was that he would have an expression on the earth
Amen.
Through people mingled with God himself. And it's interesting to see, just as Sister Lamb was sharing, that this was actually a picture of something that was accomplished in the New Testament. Because when Jesus came to the earth, he actually came as the very mingling and meeting place of God and man.
Amen.
To qualify us to be saved and to have God's life enter into us. But on the other hand, when Jesus was on the earth, he was actually the very testimony of God. He was even the expression, and God explained in the flesh for man to see. So I thought that was very, very interesting. And I really enjoyed that, you know, everything in the Bible kind of has always like these dual aspects. And I enjoyed that the Lord, God was so wise in his picture of the tabernacle, that the tabernacle fully meets man's need, but it also fully met God's need.
Amen.
I was also very touched by day one. Actually, this is the end of Exodus, and it talks about three things, tabernacle, cloud, and glory. When I heard Sister Lisa's testimony, I was like, actually, the first time I read Exodus, I actually skipped most of the chapters. So then, you know, after I finished that, I was like, what is this about? I'm really not interested in it. I know nothing about it, and I'm not interested in that at all. But then, you know, this week I was very touched by, you know, the day one's message. You know, in the outline it says that the day that the tabernacle was raised up, that day, you know, if you skip some words, basically it says that that day was a great day.
Mm-hmm.
And people were so happy with joy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have this, you know, feeling about, you know, now we actually know that this tabernacle signifies church, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that, you know, every time when we come here, we have a feeling, we are so happy here. We are so joy joyful to see God's building, to see what God is doing within us. I just think that, sometimes we read the message, we think that this is not related to my life at all. And actually, this is very relevant. On day one, it says that the tent of meeting and the tabernacle. I think for most of us, we come, we just think that it's the tent of meeting. We are happy with, staying outwards, so thinking that, as long as we are safe, as long as we have the experience of the altar, that is enough, that is sufficient. But actually, inside of the tabernacle, God's heart's desire is His testimony, is the ark. But for many of us, we actually just don't hear about the ark. We just think that, this message is too high. Every time I come here, I don't know what these people are talking about. But actually, if we keep our mind open, if we get into the burden of this message, I think it tells us that, like now we are in the time of the New Testament. The tabernacle is the church, and the ark is actually, like our spirit. We God's spirit, right? We really need to, be mingled with God, work with God, so that, every day we can experience Him as the real one. And then, the church can be built up. So, I also very touched by what Sister Ann shared about, the difference between Genesis and Exodus. In Genesis, you see this individual Israel, but in Exodus, you actually see the corporate Israel. And I think that, the glory, before, you actually cannot see God. But actually now we can see God, because God is among us. God is expressed through us. This is the embodiment of the God. So I just think that, we need to keep on going. And I know that I'm not there. We are not there yet. But we really need to, see the vision and also get into this reality. Amen. And I remember in the message, Brother John said he did take a chair about it. I was very
Praise God. We listen when I start seeing all the types in the Old Testament. It was really when I saw the Lord. So because we once we are saved, we usually concentrate on the New Testament, right? But when we came to see all these types, for me it was shocking. I cried when I saw many types, especially in Exodus, because it really shows us how the Lord prepared, how God prepared everything from eternal back to the eternal future.
Yeah.
It's amazing what He did. But now that this week when I read this part of the tabernacle, cloud, how boring it might have been for some probably of them. Every time the cloud moved, they had to move, pack everything, and then go.
Right.
And then the cloud moved and stopped, and that's when they had to build it again. Just imagine that. For many years in the wilderness,
yeah.
And this happening to us, right? Now we are the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. The Lord is here. It's pressure. He's a trying God. But the cloud is the spirit. It's like in the revelation of seven spirits, right? He's always coming to us, tell us what we're doing. And, we are rebellious. I am rebellious many times. I don't listen, I don't obey. And the spirit always feeling me, I come back in, even though I have the life there, but the anointing. See, that feeling of the Spirit, the anointing, speaking of the Lord. We have the life, right? We have the life, but we don't listen to the anointing. So, this is the Spirit that speaks to us, and when I'm rebellious, He always brings me back.
without move every time. And I had to move, not to back up, I had to move forward. You know, I always pray and thank the Lord, oh, help me, I mean, you know, I need more of you every day. I need more, more. So this cloud filled me up, and I can enter when I start walking in righteousness, I stop being rebellious. I can enter into the Holy Holy Spirit. And, this is the great experience that Christian could really feel. Enter into being in the Holy Holy. Now, it's not easy when you're young, it's not easy. I understand my kids. But it's not easy to really walk in passion and be holy. It's not difficult, but I wasn't holy when I was a age. I wasn't really. But I pray all the time to the Lord to keep me in the Holy of Holies. That's the only way, you know, to do it. And to see the glory of God in His presence.
Amen.
I appreciated this verse in Exodus 39. This is the last verse. It says, "And Moses saw all the work, and there it was. They had done it."
Amen.
I love that. There it was.
Amen.
They had done it.
Amen.
Just as Jehovah has commanded, so they had done it. And Moses blessed them. What touched me about this verse is to realize that, and this is not really profound, but God's building will actually happen.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, sometimes when we think God's building, we think of New Jerusalem, we think, oh, that's far, far, far into the future. There it was! You know, there's going to be a group of people on this earth, and they're going to be able to proclaim this. There it is!
Amen.
Hopefully it's like this. There it is! It's God's building!
Amen.
We're God's building! We've done it!
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, saints!
Amen.
You know, we've been on this journey for 2 years.
Yeah.
Through Exodus. I don't remember the last time we went through something so long. And I think one thing that's just for me to take away is that, you know, there needs to be a group of people, not just know about God's building,
yeah.
Not just having the blueprints, knowing, oh, this is how you're supposed to build, but there needs to be a group of people that actually do it, right? Like Moses commanded the people, and there it was. They done it. They actually did it.
Amen.
So what do we need to do? We need to enjoy God's dispensing.
Amen.
This is something wonderful. Oh, but this needs to be done.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not so easy. And this is why we need to have a vision. You know, I was sitting here and I was considering, you know, when people ask about the full-time training, I tell them, oh, it's the best 2 years of my life. It was glorious. You just enjoy the Lord. You know, there was light. There was a lot of dealing, but
yeah.
More or less, it was wonderful, right? Right now. But life isn't like that, you know? And it's easy, I would say, to enjoy the divine dispensing when you're in that kind of environment.
Amen.
But real life isn't like that.
Yeah.
No, it's not. So, you know, this past week, actually just very recent, just yesterday, I just had this experience. You know, we drove to have some fellowship with some saints, and we had to bring the 2 kids along, and Judah is he does not take naps so easily. Actually, he's the worst. Well, compared to Benjamin, he's far, far worse in sleeping. So you know, Benjamin's a heavy sleeper. Judah, you open the door, he wakes up. And so we just had a hard time just putting him to bed, and even that carried on last night because he didn't have a good nap, and so he was just cranky and just miserable. And then I was just complaining to Esther, like, oh, Judah, he's the worst napper ever. And then it's funny because, you know, as we're driving home, you know, we had these Bible story songs playing now for the kids, and then this CD was wonderfully. And if you've heard some of the songs, it's from I forgot what reference, but in Psalms there's a verse that says, "I'm wonderfully and awesomely and wonderfully made,
Amen.
For my soul Amen. Knows it well."
Amen.
And so as we were listening to that word, you know, it's all hymns, it's all from the Word, right? That word touched me. You know, God made actually, I should be very thankful for the way that the Lord has given me, you know, these two boys.
Amen.
And rather than complaining,
amen,
I should praise Him.
Amen.
I should enjoy Him.
Amen.
For God has wonderfully, wondrously, and awesomely made Him. Anyway, I was just brought into my spirit, and I just started singing, and I told Benjamin, let's sing. Let's sing this together. Let's sing how marvelous, how wonderful, right, that the Lord has made us. And so, anyway, I just want to share that, you know, sometimes, you know, when we think about the dispensing, we think, oh, that's, you know, that's when we're happy, you know, when everything is good. But, you know, you all students, you're in the thick of finals. It's not a happy time, right?
Right.
It's not so pleasant, right? But we can enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
We can enjoy the Lord in all our situations. I just appreciated what some of the brothers were sharing, like, you know, like learning how to sing. This past week, you know, just sometimes in the morning, I just need to belt out something.
Yeah. Amen.
The triune God,
amen,
has become our all.
Amen.
How wonderful.
Amen.
How glorious.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need to get out of ourselves,
amen,
to touch our spirit. Something else I've been enjoying this week is just praying with the brothers. We started experimenting with, you know, this prayer net. And that's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Been able to pray with my brothers for just a few minutes. That has really sustained me.
Amen.
So anyway, hallelujah, saints.
Amen.
The Lord is going to gain His,
amen,
building.
Amen.
And the only way that He can do that is through our enjoying of Him through the divine dispensing.
Amen.
So we need to learn how to enjoy His dispensing.
Amen.
In our normal, day-to-day, mundane, sometimes pleasant, sometimes not so pleasant, things that happen in our life. But when we do enjoy Him, it's wonderful. And we give ourselves to enjoy the Lord's dispensing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I really amen everybody sharing. In the Old Testament, everything is material. But now it comes to New Testament, everything is in spirit.
Yes.
And the first tabernacle that God brought us is Christ. He said that the Word became flesh and tabernacle among us. So every reality of tabernacle is in Christ. So all the things we have to experience is in Christ. So everything in our daily life, I was more and more appreciate that is. Somehow I more appreciate His humanity than His divinity. Because it's His humanity, because most of it was sustained our daily life. And there's something happened in my work situation that really upset me, because this, you know, you think student life is tough? Wait until you go to the work life. It was like, you know, you try to be, anyway. It's just like so many garbage, you know, like so many things you have to handle. And I was so upset that all my mind think about, okay, how should I handle this? How should I prepare myself, say something that, you know, will be justified the situation, or to, you know. And the more I think about it, the whole being is so upset, and it's so, just so, you know, no joys. It's just so very down, you know, very depressed. So, but then somehow the light shining in me. It's not really shining, just like a very small voice telling me, that's because you are short of Christ. That's because you don't have enough Christ. And then the minute it brought you into the reality, you realize it. Every situation happens to us, it's not because for us to suffer, it's not because for any, you know, only for the purpose that us realize it, we need Christ. And then, and it's not that easy to turn to Christ, believe me, it's not like, okay, that you have that feeling of you don't have enough Christ and then you can turn right away. only when people have very experienced spirit, they can turn right away. So it was like, even I know I show the Christ, but I don't want to turn the spirit. Because it's just the whole thing really bothers me. And then I was just like lingering the outer court, you know, the wanderers of the old Israel, you know, just keep on wandering in the, you know. And then finally I said, okay, Lord, I give up. Lord, I'm coming back to you. Because I just like, I don't want to fill up with all the things that in my mind that how to handle the situation. And then, you know, and then I think this message is just, it's not really doctrine, it's really the experience.
Amen.
Salvation is Christ.
Amen.
And then salvation is today.
Amen.
To save us every day, our daily life, whatever happened to us, that we need to turn to Him.
Amen.
And that's the real salvation. It's not until the end we go to the heaven. It's just today, the salvation is save us every day from ourselves, from our work situation, your life. So you can enjoy Him and have this distinction. That's the most thing we need. You know, to be filled as a tabernacle again among us, we need Christ. I just realized without Him, everything is just talking. Everything is just not reality. Everything is, what we're going to say, it will be done. It's not going to be done if we don't have Christ. The only thing we showed up today is Christ.
Amen.
So we have to constantly remind us that, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you.
Amen.
Lord, I need you to in my daily life, moment by moment, day by day.
Amen.
You are the only thing I need.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to be encouraged and motivated to pursue the Lord.
Amen.
And enter into His heart desire, not merely entering into God Himself, but entering into God His heart desire.
Amen.
So I know to some extent I'm not fully born into God's heart desire, but Lord, I'm willing to give myself for this. And I know these are yearning, and these are longing in the speaking brothers. And actually, this longing and this yearning is from God Himself. But He really wants someone to not merely know His heart desire, but being brought into His heart desire.
Amen.
And I really want to share a portion of this message. A brother gave me this message. He said, when you touch and enter the desire of God's heart, and when the desire of God's heart becomes the desire of your heart, I assure you that you will be intrinsically changed forever. You will breathe for this, and everything that happens to you, everything you go through, humanly and spiritually, on every level, will be related to this. Oh Lord Jesus, I think we all have a heart for the Lord. Now we are here for God's building, for His dwelling place. But Lord, may you bring us further, bring us into your heart desire.
Amen.
Lord, may you gain a group of people that really touch your heart desire.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
At the time, we have like room for like two more.
Okay, amen. The holidays or like December, at the end of November to December is like Armageddon for teachers. Because the kids are all crazy and they're all stressed about sugar and there's all these like different things and grades and whatever. And for music teachers, it's like a little bit intensified because you know they'll be all with all the concerts and things. So anyway, it's been really rough. But anyway, so the night of the concert, I was getting some texts from people like, oh, break a leg, or comments from teachers like, oh, you know, it's going to be great, you know, the kids are going to be awesome. And then, like, shortly before getting on, or starting all the preparation, my sister sent me a text and said, enjoy the Lord today. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course, enjoy the Lord. You know, if I don't enjoy the Lord, then all of the strife and all of the struggles, you know, like buying all the goldfish for the kids to eat and the water bottles and my small car, and then dealing with all the teachers who you know, quit last minute to help out and all these different things and all the arrangements, like, it's not, the struggle of your Egyptian, you know, work, it's not worth it if you're not enjoying the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was just being reminded during that time, I need to enjoy the Lord even in the busyness. And so I was running on very little sleep and very little food, but just that text just brought me back all the sweetness of my morning of Bible that morning and all that I enjoyed and just really uplifted this like very stressful experience. I was very, very calm because I think I was just reminded, I need to enjoy the Lord. And then along that, you know, I was just asking the Lord, you know, even as I'm standing here in front of like all these other parents and the kids are all there and they're not getting quiet, like, you know, all these different things. And Lord, I still, you know, the goal is to express you.
Amen.
But even in that, and even in that, that experience, I just realized there's still limitation to how much one person can express the Lord. Right? Actually, what he is after is a corporate expression. Even every facet of the tabernacle screams a corporate, a building, a matter of many.
Amen.
And then my Facebook newsfeed is very strange. I'll have a variety of things that are flying up, and well, there's two different kinds of videos that are shared that I wanted to bring up, and one is that from my school, a lot of the alumni are like really good, like excellent gospel singers, and they're really into sharing like really excellent gospel singers, like all the crazy riffs, the solos, and they're singing to the glory of God, and it's very impressive, right? But then there are videos, I think Brother Kyle shares a lot of these, of like just the churches, like enjoying or conferences or blendings. And those videos are just so glorious. Like you just sense this is what the Lord has happened, not just one person able to express so much, but really it's a corporate matter. And then, because the concert was so crazy, I think the teacher saw that I was very stressful. The office like had a quits mouth and took the day off the next day. Like, don't put it in school. We'll put it in the day for you. I was like, no, I'll be okay. No, don't. Just take the day off. So I was kind of strong-armed into not being at school the next day, which is nice, I guess. But anyway, I woke up and I was just so happy to luxury. I was able to just have a nice time with the Lord without any, like, time frame. And that was, like, it felt so awesome. And I was like, why can't every day be like, oh, yeah, after work. I don't know. I was just encouraged to actually to further dispensing, right? To get the dispensing, to enjoy. But to enjoy something, you need to have the time to enjoy.
Yes.
Instead of having a wonderful steak dinner or whatever it is, your favorite food is, in 5 minutes before you have to do something else, and taking the time to sit there and enjoy it at your leisure, right? And so I was just, that morning time, it was very, very sweet. Like, I thought I was going to be like, a lot or, you know, catch up on all this reading. But I mean, the Lord just kind of kept me in these couple of verses that I really enjoyed. So I thought, wow, like, the Lord has so much to speak, but I don't give him enough time. Like, even though I'm open to dispensing to a certain extent, if I don't give him the time, if I don't really take the time to enjoy, then my receiving of this dispensing of the triune God is very limited. So anyway, I was just moved or encouraged to wake up earlier so that I could give the Lord more time to speak. And then, anyway, I'm also just really thankful that this concert is over. So if you're praying for my health or for my like mental well-being, thank you.
I was very touched by some words in Danish 4, and I just read them. The Trinity of the Godhead is not for the doctrine, but for the dispensing of God Himself in His Trinity into the chosen and redeemed people. In the Bible, the Trinity is never revealed merely as a doctrine. It is also revealed and mentioned in regard to the relationship of God with His creatures, especially with man, who was created by Him, and more particularly with His chosen and redeemed people. And according to the entire revelation of the Bible, the divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is for God dispensing. That is for the distribution of God into His chosen people. God's desire with His strong intention is to dispense Himself into His chosen people.
Amen.
And their life, and their life of life, and their everything. To carry out His dispensing, He needs to be trying, oh Lord Jesus. And I'm very touched by this word. The divine Trinity is not for anything else, just for dispensing Himself into us. And we human want to stay in heaven, but God wants to find a place on earth He can dwell in. So today, all of us, everyone of us, is the place that God can dwell in into us.
Right.
And the more we receive the dispensing from God, and God has more place, He can dwell in us.
Amen.
And the tabernacle is a corporate way, that way all of us receive the dispensing of God.
Amen.
And when we when we receive the dispensing and the tabernacle is rising up, and the glory can be filled with the in the tabernacle.
Amen.
And I'm very touched by this.
I really appreciate it. Now, this is like the last message of 2 years of 4 volumes of the crystallization study of Exodus. Now, I was considering, you know, the brothers could have ended this message in any other way. But it's like, so, like, it almost seems like they're going off on this tangent on the divine dispensing. But when you read the messages and you read the daily portion, there was a portion I was really touched with. It said, there have been many messages regarding the divine dispensing, something like this. But Brother Lee said, but I am concerned that the saints need a vision of the central thought of the Bible, something like this. And I was just touched, like, actually, we can pass through these 2 years. We may know a lot. We may have gone through a lot of messages, but we may not have the central thought of this vision, which is actually this whole thing is for the divine dispensing. There is a point in Roman numeral, in a letter D, I was just touched. It says, we need a vision of the central matter in the Bible, the divine intention, the divine economy, and the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. And I just appreciate this reminder. Actually, having this vision makes all the difference in our daily life. Because whether we have this vision or not will control whether we are willing to turn to the Lord at that moment or not. I feel like I appreciated all the experiences of the saints. Anyway, this message has just reminded me we're not short of knowing this truth. We're short of the experience of the divine dispensing. And actually, we're not going to be listening to anything different. If you read the first 2 footnotes of the book of Ezekiel, it says, the Bible as a whole and the book of Ezekiel is a miniature of the Bible. Reveal that God's eternal intention is to dispense himself into his chosen people, making them the same as he is in life and nature and his image, but not in his Godhead, that they might be mingled with him as one entity and be built up together in him to be his eternal habitation, the New Jerusalem. This is the central point of the revelation of the Bible and also of the 4 visions presented in the book of Ezekiel. It's like a summary of what we just went through in Exodus. Anyway, I just appreciated this reminder. We need to experience all these things that we have heard these past 2 years.
Amen.
And the key to this experience is we really have to pray the Lord would give us a vision so that we would be willing to be open to his dispensing in our daily lives.
Amen.
So, will you try me? I want to read Shepherd's verse again. So, it says, this is Exodus 39:43. And Moses saw all the work. And there it was. And Moses saw all the work.
Amen.
And there it was.
Amen.
They had done it.
Amen.
That's so wonderful.
Amen.
So the message has been spoken this morning. This message has really, really been spoken this morning by all the saints. So I just like to tie as best I can what everyone has shared together. So let me use my hand for a second. There's a palm side, there's a palm side, and then there's a whatever this side is. The top side. I don't know. Okay, my hand has 2 sides. So all the saints have shared this message very, very clearly with both sides. With both sides of the hand. So for example, if you were to describe the life of a God-man, and you wanted to describe the human side, what would you say? What would you say? The human side is what we can see. What we can see. So this, on the surface, sounds very easy. So we can describe, so for example, we have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. This is a description of a God-man from let's use this as the human side, from the human side. So wonderful. So we had more description of a God-man this morning. We had a person slow by birth. This is a description of a God-man, right? As a man, I need to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to be a God-man, to be one that's regenerated with the divine life in our spirit. And we should be baptized. And then we should, day by day, we should do things like are described in our morning revival. Like, we should believe into the Lord. And out of our innermost being should flow rivers of living water. This should be our this should be this, right? That's another side of our normal human life. So on the one hand, I'm in the traffic, I'm a slow person, everybody's fast. Oh Lord Jesus. Out of my innermost being flows rivers of living water. Right? How about John 4:14? How about this one? This one says, whoever, that's me. Right? Juwan said, oh. Right? I can sympathize. Oh, you know, oh, just there's another God man. There's a description. There's a story. We could write that down. There would be a story of another God man. That would be another, right? That would be one side. That would be one side. But on the other side, so in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we have the tabernacle, and it was erected, and the cloud covered the tent of meeting. So the tabernacle, on the one hand, is the tent of meeting. On the other hand, it's the tabernacle, a tabernacle of the testimony, because it contains the ark. So we contain Christ. We contain the ark. Christ is the ark of the testimony. We contain Christ. How wonderful. So, but we need to help us appreciate and enjoy Christ and enter into the vision of God's economy, we need both sides. So we need something to tell us that we can kind of grasp, we can kind of see, like we can understand, oh, the sighing. We can understand, Lord Jesus, right? We can understand, my son Tom, he never slept. For 6 months, he never slept. I would go to work and my head would just crash on my desk. I would get, it would crash on my desk. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, to understand was, but behind that sighing, behind that, the driving or the tiredness, behind the crashing the head on the desk, there's the whoever drinks. Amen. Whoever Amen. Drinks of the water
Amen.
That I will give him.
Amen.
Brother Don, the Lord gave you the living water.
Amen.
The Lord gave you the living water.
Amen.
Now He lives in you.
Amen.
He's in your spirit.
Amen.
There's a water inside of you, and you can drink.
Amen.
You are the whoever.
Amen.
So it says, it will become in Him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life.
Amen.
That's the two sides.
Amen.
Right? The studying side, the school side, the music. I like the music. The music testimony, right? You know, and then a text. Oh, yes, I'm supposed to enjoy the Lord to be brought back. So the Lord, so the I just want to try to get this out. In the Old Testament, we have a picture or a type. We can understand the details with our mind. We can see that. But there, and also the Lord Jesus and John. So in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are the Lord does miracles. So his what's described is a picture of his humanity. But now, John, how would you what would you write if you had to describe his divinity? What would you write? So in the Gospel of John, we don't have, they're not called, what he did are not called miracles, they're called signs. So the same like a type. A sign is something that we can see, like it, there's the word, there's the tabernacle, there's the lamb, right, a dove. These are things we can see, but they signify, there's something there that we don't see. There's something there that's real, that's not, we don't, there's something more. There's something more. So John has, so the tabernacle, the cloud, the glory, these are things we can grasp, but they're also a type. They're also a sign signifying something that we can't see, something that we can enter into, and something that we can live. So it has to do with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit being with us all. This is the reality. And it happens in our sighing, in our not, you know, all the our children never sleeping, in our being pressured at work, at school. So even like I enjoy the Friday night meetings. So the Friday night meetings are so, on the one hand, they're so normal. We just come together. We cook some food. We eat some food. what is that we do? So on the one hand, it's very, apparently it's very, you know, like, well, we just sing, we eat. But yet, it's a sign. There's something more. There's something more that's happening besides the eating and like last Friday, we just talked a lot about school. We talked about school things. So normal. And yet, let's read another verse. In Revelation, it's not in your book, but Revelation 10 says, the New Jerusalem has the glory of God. The New Jerusalem has the glory. So praise the Lord. I enjoyed this message, the fulfillment. So when the tabernacle, there it was. This is the embodiment of God. For the first time, God had a dwelling place. Amen. He had a dwelling place. Amen. This was, there it was. Amen. So we're doing the same thing. Amen. So when the Lord, so the tabernacle being erected, the Lord, the Word became flesh. Amen. And tabernacled among us. Amen. I was just about done. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so on the one hand, we need to enter it. So like reading the Bible. When we read the Bible, so Gong, I don't know how your experience is, but when you read the Bible, sometimes we read and it just doesn't make much sense. But as the saints testified, as we keep reading, as we keep coming to the meetings, as we keep seeking the Lord, we have to seek the Lord, and we read the footnotes, we read the ministry, the Word opens up. And all of a sudden, we see, oh, the tabernacle! Oh, this is the dwelling place of God. This is, the ark is there. The ark with a testimony. The ark of the testimony makes the tabernacle of the testimony. We have Christ living in us. He's dwelling in us. He's the Spirit giving life, indwelling us, giving life to our mortal body. So, as we contact the Lord, as we fellowship, as we meet together, as we read the Bible, the Lord just, He tastes good, and He enlightens us, and He shows us, He brings us into the two sides. The normal side, our daily life. We have all of our complications, all of our difficulties, and yet we can, out of our innermost being, flows rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. And then some, we can say, here it is. Here it is, Lord. Here we are. Here's your dwelling place.
Amen.
Right? Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
All right, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for speaking.
Amen.
Thank you for the book of Exodus.
Amen.
Thank you for your mercy and revealing all your mystery.
Amen.
The fulfillment of your economy.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask you this week to fill us more with your spirit.
Amen.
Oh, to let us walk in your way.
Amen.
Help us to walk in your ways, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your life-giving spirit.
Amen.
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 Signed up and you're planning on coming.
Oh.